Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you once again for blessing us with another day, for bringing us here, dear God, in order to grow in your name. We ask you to help us, dear Lord, to truly seek your word and to walk and to do things that your word tells us, gaining understanding through your Holy Spirit. With everything that's going on, allow us not to be distracted. Help us to stay focused on you by walking by faith and not by sight. As we start today, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by you, presenting your word in a way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. We look to know you, dear Lord, and to get closer to you and to grow in unity and faith, dear Lord. So help us to do what we need in order to do that. As we go through this, dear Lord, allow us to check it to make sure everything's in line with you and then understand it so we can apply it and then gain more and more of your feeding. So we hand this over to you for your teaching and for your guidance and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. So we started last week on this topic of spiritual growth, because unfortunately, today, most Christians are either just professing Christians, which means they're not Christians at all, or they stay babes. So you're going to see levels. What this study is supposed to do is give you a step-by-step in levels. It's going to show you conception. It's actually going to show you infancy. We're going to see each age and what it requires. And hopefully it'll let you know where you're at. Maturity is a requirement. This is not something that will be nice to do. Unfortunately, so many have not matured today that you have ministers making up excuses. I heard one minister say, well, not all Christians are disciples. So then you don't have to listen to anything it says about being a disciple. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches, but it makes people go, oh, all I have to do is say I'm a Christian and it's all good. The danger, especially as a Christian, is if I tell somebody that and it's not true, which it really looks like it's not, I'm setting them up. Do y'all get this? They'll fall into that mode of not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to understand there is a process. Now, the process is not hard, and I'll show you what's hindering it. We'll do that today, and then we'll go through the process of conception and infancy. But let's do a review of what we already learned so far on this. First of all, we've seen that a major part of our Christian walk is to mature. The Bible puts that out there. You don't stay a babe. You put away childish things. You can't be the same person you were before you were saved. And I'm not talking about slight adjustments. I'm talking about drastic changes. And even to a point where we all should look, act the same in Christ. That's why you hear me say, when others see us, they see you. Church leadership's goal should be to lead to maturity. So my purpose here isn't, you know, to come here and make you feel good, make you enjoy yourself, to motivate you. It's not that. The purpose here is for you to grow along with others in the body and for all of us to mature in Christ. That's our goal. Okay. If that's not happening, either it's the church's fault or it's your fault. Now, I got to make sure I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm following what the word tells me in order to present that to you. But then you have a part to play in this as well. You know, it's like any other child. You can raise a child and do everything you're supposed to. If they don't receive it, nothing you could do about it. You did your part. Does that make sense? And that's what we have to do as a church. But you have to receive it. Spiritual immaturity corrupts, distorts, and clouds. Spiritual immaturity makes us confused, frustrated. We get pulled in by false doctrine, mistaking things, doing things we have no business doing, going astray. If you still find yourself confused, it's usually because maturity has not happened. And it's not something that has not happened to you. It's something that you're not allowing to happen, if that makes sense. Spiritual maturity has to be something you accept and allow. All Christians are expected to allow God to mature them in an appropriate time. Remember the one verse where he says, you ought to be teachers by now. And that's the truth for a lot of us. And if we see, hey, I'm not growing, then hopefully we recognize there is a problem and we go to fix it. Now, as we go through this word, hopefully you'll see, okay, here's my problem, fix it. All right. Unfortunately, we can be a lot like the Israelites, stiff-necked people, and not change. And because we don't change, we won't grow. And because we don't grow, we get an answer to God. So it's important to understand the growing part God is doing for you as you allow him. Okay, as you allow him is so important that I recognize it's me allowing him to do it. He won't force it on me. He's not going to force a maturity. But that allowing part means certain things I must do. Man's part to helping others to mature, and we play a part in God allowing it, is limited. So as a pastor, I play a limited, however, very important part. And why do I say limited? Because I can't go, man, they're not growing, so I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. See, I'm making it about me, and it's not about me. Okay, I can't do it. I am just an instrument that must play my part. So if I'm not playing my part, I have to answer to God for that. If you're not playing your part, you have to answer to God for that. And God gives special instructions to our parts in order to help others to grow. Does everybody get this? So understand, limit it, but very important, okay? And I have to make sure I'm following him. Jesus, representing us, went through the process of maturity. He came as a man, and he went through the entire thing. And it said he even suffered to learn obedience, even unto death. Remember, he went through the process as us. When you get those people to go, wow, he was God. Of course he was going to do it. No, he stripped that part off. You know, he was God in person. We understand that. But he was just like us, just as weak as us. But he 100% trusted in God. It says he was heard because of his reverence. Do you understand that? Because of his reverence. Reverence is a choice. We want it to be a reaction, but it's something we have to have. And then two items that must exist for our spiritual growth is, first, God's undistorted word, read and applied. Okay, that's the first thing. When I say undistorted, there's a lot of garbage that use God's word, because remember, Satan tries to do that. And they'll twist God's word to make it fit in a desired way, not the right way. Okay. Secondly, some of us will read and then we stop there. If you don't understand it, you can't go any further. Does that make sense? And that's why you come to church. That's why we have groups. That's why we talk about it, to get the understanding. And then here's the most important part. I have to apply it. I have to apply. We're going to talk about that some today. Okay. That's the first thing. And then church functioning the way God ordained. If you just go to church, but it's not following what God says, it's like not going to church at all. And in some cases, it's worse. Because sometimes it takes you negative. It takes you further away out. I've noticed some people who were in false religions or had some false practices, you had to first go through the process of getting rid of the junk that they gained, getting back to the starting line. And then starting again. Does that make sense? So that's the danger of a non-ordained church. When it's non-ordained, it's not going to follow the Bible's instruction or guidance of how the church is supposed to look. And we got to see that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So you understand this is exactly how it's supposed to look. If it doesn't fit that, all churches have to fit that. Whatever else they have after that is fine. But if they don't have that structure, it's not a church. There's a problem. Okay, and we have to keep that in mind. So now, there are things that are stopping spiritual growth today. And these two passages we talk about a lot because they really give insight and they open us to what's going on today that's dangerous. And you're going to see the core to all of these is man. The main thing to all of these issues, or these two main issues, man. We play a part. The most dangerous thing to us is us. Now, Satan's called the enemy because he attacks us. But what makes it dangerous is he attacks us with us. If I use the protection God gives me, Satan can do absolutely nothing to me. Y'all get this? Okay? I'm fully protected, but I gotta realize it's me. What's the first thing? Distortion of life purpose. We see this one, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Why do we put this so much in there? Because he warned us of this, and we all got born into this, But if we don't recognize this, we still keep living in it. When he says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but mark this, as he starts off, he's saying, I need you to make note of this. There will be terrible times. And as you see below, terrible times, with the Greek word is showing the idea of reducing strength, difficult, dangerous, fierce, perilous. Okay, it's saying this time is horrible. And like I said, a lot of people who ignorantly read this, they'll stop there and go, oh, it's talking about Revelations. No. It's talking about this time now, a time where we keep living for ourself and our own comfort. Look at what he says. Now, none of these sound like Revelation things. If you really look close, some of us will go, well, I don't see the problem in these. When he says people will be lovers of themselves, right? We break these down. We love self. We live for self. It's all about me. If he doesn't do it for me, then something's wrong. We go down, and I'm not going to go through them individually, but I want you to get an understanding. Lovers of money, very common. Boastful, it's about me. We see that in the elections. We see that in sports. Proud. Pride is killing us. I'm just letting y'all know this. Pride, because we create these lines where God's like, I can't use you if you keep creating a line. We keep telling God, well, God, I'll go there, but I'm not doing this. God's like, okay, go back to where you were. Go back to the bench. Y'all get this? You know what I mean? I can't use you. We see abusive, all right? And that abuse in God's way is much more than what you think. Like I always told people in child abuse, of course, when you beat a child to where you harm them, that's abuse. However, when you spoil a child and you don't discipline them, that's abuse. If you don't understand abuse, you don't realize, and we're abusing our kids more and more today by just letting them run wild, because then it becomes disobedient to their parents. That is a hint not just to the children, but to the parents. Does that make sense? This is unheard of, is what it should be. You know, your household, they do what you tell them to do. Not, oh, they're going through a hard time, but we're raising them to be these independent individuals, even in our households. It goes on to say, ungrateful. With all that we have access today, we want more. I think we're in a nation, I think if we're being honest, we still say today, I'm bored. Think about it. I watched some movies where they had no television. They lived out on a farm. There was absolutely nothing to do, and they kept themselves busy. Now, I'm sure they said they were bored, but here we have full access all the time, and we're still going, nothing's on. I'm bored. What am I going? We're ungrateful for what we have. That's why we have so much stuff, because we don't like all that we have. Unholy. We're supposed to be godly people. We're supposed to be a light. Without love, that's talking about the stergo love. That's talking about natural love. Now, of course, the abortion people use this just for abortion, and they're right. Abortion plays a part, but this is not just talking about abortion. This is when we don't love our family because they're our family. Y'all get this? I'm talking about true godly love for a family. Natural love, in which people turn on their kids, turn on their family, and not think anything of it. It's saying that's lacking. Unforgiving. Speaks for itself. I've never seen so many Christians hold grudges in my life. Never seen that. Not realizing you're setting yourself up for hell. Even though you think you're a Christian, whatever your reason for holding grudges, you're setting yourself up for hell. Slanderous. We love talking bad about people. Without self-control. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have self-control. It means you're not using self-control. You do a lot of junk with the mindset of, I can't help it. This is why there's a difference between a mistake and a bad decision. See, a mistake is I'm walking, I trip over something. Nothing I did really caused that. You understand? I was just walking, tripped over something. That's a mistake. Bad decision is I didn't think anything through when I made the decision to do what I'm doing. And now that everything's going wrong, I want everybody to help me. You've seen it coming. You made the bad decision. Okay, that's without self-control. A lot of cases, the stuff we put ourselves in, we did that, and God's going to allow us to go through it. Brutal, it's which we're not gentle. It's just the opposite of gentle. Not lovers of good. Now, putting that there, a lot of us will go, well, that can't be me because I love doing good stuff for people. Do you remember when he says only God is good? So we'll read when the word tells us to do something, we'll go, no, I'm not doing that. So then you're not a lover of good. Instantly, you understand that. Treacherous, okay? And that means treason, a traitor. You'll turn your back on God and the gospel in a second. It'll be for your family, maybe. It'll be for what you may even call a noble cause, but you'll do it. I know the Bible says this, but that's a person who's treacherous, believe it or not. We don't realize that, right? Rash, in which we just abruptly react. We are very emotional people, conceited. Once again, that's part of pride, where we put ourselves up to a certain level, and there's certain people we don't speak to, or they're that way because of themselves, and they're not like me, and the reason why I'm here because of what I, come on now. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here's the thing. This group loves God, but the minute God gets in the middle of their pleasure, come on, God. Y'all get this? I'll follow the Bible until it starts getting uncomfortable. Then I'm not doing it. He said, having a form of godliness. So I want to look spiritual. Like I said, we carry the Bible. We want to put suits on, have the hats on for the women, so on and so forth. We have all the stuff, but denying its power. But I'm not living it. I want to put on a show to make you think I'm a Christian, but no way am I doing it. He says, have nothing to do with them. So, I mean, it could be a combination of these things or all of these things. He's letting us know this is us. These characteristics should not exist in the body of Christ. So that's the first thing that's stopping spiritual growth. And we have to examine ourselves and get rid of it. The other thing that's doing it is the devaluation of the word of God. We're actually lowering the value of God's word. We are. Look what he says in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. It says, for the time will come. Once again, we were all born to this time when men will not. It didn't say cannot. Man will not. This is a choice. Do what? Put up with sound doctrine. Just this month, I got a couple of things sent to me with people trying to use the Bible in a distorted form to have distorted lifestyles, to have distorted outcomes. And just using simple sound doctrine, it was already, how can you listen to this? But it's common, more common than what you think. And we do it. I'll see people that'll go to books other than the Bible or listen to a television show. And the book or the television show will say something. And all you have to do is say, but what does the rest of the Bible say? Well, yeah, they said this, and should we do this? But you know it's also written this. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Sound doctrine, we won't put up with it. Or we go after what we want to hear and not what God has to say. He says, when men will not put up with sound doctrine, watch this, instead to suit their own desires. That's a good question to ask you. Are you going to church to suit you? Or are you going to church to glorify God? Excellent question. And the question has to come out. So if you went there and God told you to do something that went against everything you desired, would you do it? Now, it should be a quick, absolute, yep, like Abraham, go kill your son. Got it. Come on, pack it. We got to go. Why? God said it. We go, oh, come on, God, and we hesitate and make up excuses. We add other stuff. And God, why are you doing this to me? And because we want to suit our own desires. He says they will gather around a great number of teachers. That's why we're in a state where we have so many churches, so many people on TV, so many books. Why do they exist? Because we did it. We make them successful. I said this before. Some of the stuff we call garbage on television, do y'all know why they're still on television? Because people watch them. All right, let's stop playing holier than thou. Oh, that's nonsense. Yeah, that's nonsense on there because we watch it. We endorse it. You might not endorse that one, but you definitely endorse this one. You'll get this. There's a lot of ministries in the same way that we endorse. Instead of us holding ministries accountable for giving the truth, we love it when they make us feel good. We love it when they endorse our sin. And we gather these teachers to say what our itching ears want to hear. And then we turn our ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You'll hear stories, and we go after the stories more than we go after the word of God. Y'all catch this? You know what I mean? We're more deep in the stories than we are following what God says. So these two things really encompass everything that's slowing our growth down. You got to take the word serious, hold the church accountable for doing it, and you got to get rid of the characteristics that have nothing to do with being a spiritual child of God. Amen? All right. Now, we're going to go through what's called the stages of growth. You're going to see them step by step. But before anything, got to be conceived. Just because you exist doesn't mean you're conceived yet. Okay, you have the ingredients, but you're not conceived yet. All right, now we're talking about the fertilized egg is when you get to this point. So that's the conception, accepting what's needed to be born again. We don't teach this enough because sometimes we run to a person and say, hey, do you accept Christ as your personal savior? They'll go, okay, in excitement, yes, and then they think they're saved and life's good. While Jesus actually lays out the part of conception. Now, don't get me wrong. There are no requirements that I have to be before I accept Christ, but there are requirements I have to accept before I accept Christ, because there's going to be changes I have to do when I accept Christ. Do y'all get this? He's going to take you through some changes that you have to be willing to go through. Does that make sense? See, a lot of us bring our baggage with us, and in our minds, God, I'll come as long as you accept my baggage. And what you don't realize, he's saying, no, then go. You haven't accepted it. Right? If I just say, hey, come as you are, and I'm going to accept everything as you are, that means every murderer can stay a murderer. Every homosexual can stay a homosexual. Every sexual immoral can stay sexual. You got where I'm coming from. Why? Because I'm accepting you as you are. But then you go to the Bible and he says, be sure of this. This group will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're like, wait, what just happened? Because we made that up. We made that come as you are and stay as you are. The come as you are part is right. But you got to come as you are in order to be ready to be changed. Y'all with me? Now let's see what Jesus shows us in this. Just because a person says they are born again doesn't mean they are born again. It shows in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, he makes clear, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. See, this is where we've blown it, because we've got people who are saying the right thing will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does. Oh yeah, works plays a part. Yep, works does play a part. Now, we don't earn anything from works, but works just means I am living. I'm willing to change my lifestyle. Do you get this? Only he who does what? The will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what that is showing me is I can't just make up some list of how I'm going to change and then think God's going to accept me. Will of my Father means I do exactly what my Father tells me. Do y'all catch that? Okay, I'm saying, God, I'm coming so you can now guide me, empower me to do exactly what you want me to do. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, do y'all catch the extent of what he's saying there? He's saying they're going to come to him and say, but God, I did this. And a lot of us are living that way. We're taking a list of us thinking we're living godly. And he's going to go, you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. It's like a guy who went to a job. His job was to sweep the floor. That's all he was supposed to do. And when he went there, he didn't sweep the floor, but he washed the windows, man, and the job he did on his windows were outstanding. And he helped people move stuff, and he was such a helpful person. Everybody liked him. And then the boss came down and looked at the floor and said, you're fired. But didn't I wash the windows for you? And do it? What did I tell you to do? Do y'all get this? It's not just you doing what you think is good. It's reverence. It's me doing what he said. That's why he says, only he who does the will of my Father. So part of growing up is knowing the will of my Father. It's not going to fit in your definition of goodness. You have a lot of people who think they're doing good. Yeah, they're going to hell, but they chose to go to hell because they chose not to listen to their Father. One of my grandkids, she has the biggest heart, but you have to keep reminding her, didn't we tell you to do this? Now, I can see some people go, well, they mean well. I understand that. Don't put them on this excuse path. Stop allowing the excuse path. Put them on the path of obedience. Amen? Think about it. Obedience. Because it's about glorifying him. He said, I'll plainly say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So when we emotionally give in to people and give them an excuse, we're setting them up for eternal disaster. So don't get caught up in this emotional Christianity. It better be true Christianity. I'm willing to come in and do whatever he tells me as long as he helps me. Do y'all get this? I'm going to do this. But in order to do this, we must decide to let go in order to truly attach. The deal is, we really don't go over this verse. And this verse should be a prequel to someone becoming a Christian. We need to sit down with them and say, you got to understand this in accepting Christ. Watch what he says in Luke 14, 26 through 35. 26 says, if anyone comes to me, and watch this, and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, some go, no, but they must mean love less. I don't understand. No, that word has love less in it, but it does mean hate. And you're like, why would God tell me to hate? You have to understand, we see it in 1 John, God is love. Before I come to God, I don't have God. So then what was your relationship with your family? Because it sure enough wasn't love. Y'all catch this? All right. You had some emotional desired attachment to your family that wasn't love. And he says, I need to know you're going to get rid of that. Because Satan's like, no, no, keep that. Become a Christian because I'm going to go through your family. I'm going to mess you up through your family. Remember how what I did with Adam? I'm going to do the same thing because you're going to still have this thing you call love with your family and then go out there and try to be a Christian. That's what he's saying. He was like, if you don't hate, first totally detach, you can't be my disciple. He says, cannot be. He's not saying you cannot be because I won't let you. He's saying you cannot be because it's impossible. Did y'all catch that? All right. That's going to be the thing that hinders you. I watch families a lot of times, I counsel and I see them and they'll come with their definition of love. And it's usually distorted. It's usually a worldly setting where we allow, right? We had one parent who's, I'll give one example. She did everything she could. She sold everything, put him through school. He came out, he's a lawyer. He's counted as successful. And as she was talking, the thing came to mind of, I'm very proud where he's at. Things are going well, right? But the question was, but what about his soul? And the answer was, yeah, what about his soul? Was there any investment in his soul? Well, no, I did everything a mother's supposed to do. Based on what? Where did you get that definition? You did everything a mother is supposed to do. Well, I thought. Now, if you went to the Bible, we engage God 100% and everything else has to fall through that. But we don't do that. We invest in the temporary. He's doing well, has a family. As far away from God as possible. In fact, he's an atheist. Y'all see where I'm going with this? And the realization hit her. Oh my. And this is what he's saying. He was like, if you don't detach, you're going to be a danger to yourself and to them. So that's the first thing. You let the person know, I need you to know you're about to ready to let go. You're coming as you are, but I need you to let go of everything. And then he gives an example here. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Have any of you ever done that? This is a big project you just start doing, only find out later, we can't do it because we ain't got enough money. We ain't got enough supplies. Y'all get this? You sit down and you do a budget and you sit down what it's going to take and you see everything before you do it. That's what he's saying. And that's what he's saying to Christians. He's saying, for if he says the foundation, if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. You knew you were getting into this. It blows me away how many Christians in their Christianity will say, I didn't buy into this. Well, no, yes, you did. You just didn't count the cost. And it might not have been your fault because you weren't told this. But they didn't understand what they were getting into. And it goes on to say, saying this fellow began to build, was not able to finish, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? It says, if he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. What he's saying is a person sits down, they're made aware, I'm going to ask you to get detached from everything. You're going to have to detach from everything in order to attach. And you go, let me think of where my life is right now because I have to learn or know how to detach. That's what he's saying. You're prepared to go in and accept him. He said, while others are still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. He says in verse 33, in the same way. Now, this is what we were supposed to do before you accepted Christ. Any of you who does not give up a few things, most things, those things you really like, everything, he cannot be my disciple. Now, if I stop there, that's where a lot of us have failed, because we have a lot of stuff we brought in with us. We came in with these bags and saying, I'm coming in, God, 80%, man, do whatever you want. But these 20%, this is me. This is what I'm made of. This is my tradition. This is my, go back out the door. Go back. If you're not given 100, y'all get, that's why many are called, few are chosen, because we chose to bring in some and didn't give up everything. God's going to allow stuff to happen in your life that baggage, I assure you, will get in the way. I assure you. And then you're going to have to make a choice. Are you with God or are you not? That's what he's saying. You can't. You won't be, man, if I carry this baggage and as long as I dodge, he'll never hit me and I'll be good. No, I assure you. You must give up everything. Now, that doesn't mean you leave them and you tell them I'm not. You're saying I'm waiting for the time when God says, Keith, go do this. And you go, I got it. And it may be against your family, maybe against your children. It may be against the things you love. You may have to leave your job. You may have to change your lifestyle. You may have to move away. You may have to associate with people you'd rather not associate. And your answer would just be immediately, got it. Because he'll empower you to do it. You just got to choose to do it. Y'all with me? Y'all catch this? So he's saying, if you don't, you cannot. And that's where a lot, most today stopped, because we didn't teach this part. Most became Christians with their baggage. There's no such thing as what God is telling them. There is no, you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's why he says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has an ear, let him hear. Why does he throw that last line in there? Because we are the salt of the earth. If I bring in baggage, my salt is worthless. I'm no longer salty. I'm not preserving or adding flavor that I'm supposed to. Do y'all get this? Then I'm worthless. And look what he says. He said it is thrown out. Now, hopefully everybody grasps this, because he breaks out that our family must be within God. He shows us our marriage and other relationships must be within God, and our success and plans must be within God. Y'all catch that? Because a lot of these things that the world may call success, Satan's like, yep. Satan's like, I will help you be the most comfortable, happy person as long as you don't do it through him. Because I'm going to use that. I assure you of it. And that's what's happening in a lot of our lives. Depression, frustration, all this stuff comes through because it's hitting my baggage, which I didn't let go of. Y'all catch this? Very important. Deception. Also, we can no longer be the purpose of our lives. We, me, you can no longer be the purpose. He says in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, all these are that's why he keeps starting. I'm letting you know ahead of time, let them know this. He must what? Deny who? Himself. Now, deny himself doesn't just mean you give up a few things here or there. It means you are no longer the purpose. The answer can't be, God, I don't want to, or I'm not comfortable with, or I don't feel like. That plays no part in this. He goes on to say, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross is going to represent your troubles, your struggles, and everything. And he was like, so you take that stuff and follow my lead. Not just follow me as a follower, do it the way I tell you. Remember, part of your cross is going to be your enemies. He's consistent in his Bible saying, love your enemies. Am I right? I still hear Christians going, I love this one, I love that one, but this person over here, you don't know what he did. Wait a minute, I don't need to hear the rest of that. Why are we getting these excuses? Why are you adding your extra stuff on it to thinking God's going to go, yeah, in Keith's case, y'all can ignore me. He's like, no, you take that cross and you follow me. You do what I tell you. It might not look like it's working, but that's why you don't walk by looks. You walk by what I say, which is faith. He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So if any of you are into God for your comfort, for your happiness, for your peace based on you, go out and do it yourself because you're headed to hell anyway. Pastor, must you be blunt? Yes, I must, because I don't know how else to put it. I think people want, I want this comfort in my flesh to be spiritual in God. That's not how it works. No, get rid of that. When you do it despite that, that plays no purpose anymore. Ask anybody who's taught themselves not to be addicted or stuck to anything anymore. There were certain sugars and stuff I had to get rid of in my life. Some things I was able to replace, some I just couldn't eat anymore. To the time where it doesn't play a part, because it was a time where I couldn't do it, and it changed to I had to do it. Y'all see the difference? You know, the couldn't was, y'all better figure something else out because I'm not canceling this out, to y'all get this. And the minute I did that, it doesn't rule over me anymore. And that's with all of us. But I have to make that choice. So if I'm living for me, I'm eventually going to lose it. But whoever loses his life, watch this, for me, I should have underlined it, for me, we'll find it. The for me part is so important. If you just lose your life because you're just living reckless and crazy, you're still going to lose your life because that's just called a fool. But when a person loses life for Christ, what does that mean? I really want to do all this stuff over here, and I really have access to this stuff over here, but it goes against everything in Christ. Can't do it. No, it's no brainer, right? This person I really met, and I really want to be in a relationship, everything about them I like and everything I want to be with, but they're totally against what God says. Hey, sorry, you can't be. No questions. Do y'all catch this? Nah, but if I love you, love will work us through. And we say all this nonsense that the world gives. We go, we're unequally yoked. I'm sorry. Do y'all catch this? You would know it because you're giving up that life for him. And he makes really clear, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What is he saying? Let's say, and this is what rich people do, you were able to live in the best comfort that you can think of, right? And that's what a lot of them do. They'll buy stuff. They'll live a certain way. They'll get rid of people. They'll set up things. They'll buy elections. They'll do stuff. We know all elections are bought by rich people, and they try to make their system the best they want, and they don't realize they're just setting themselves up, because he says, gains the whole world. So I got everything for me. This is the life. I got this house that's 8 million miles wide and all this stuff and 10 million pools and 15 bedrooms and nobody comes. You know what I mean? I have everything I want, but I'm going to go to hell. So I have 100 years of this and an eternity of torment. Is that what you say is a good deal? That's what he's saying. He's saying, what good is it if you live to get every comfort? If God said, go ahead and do it. Are you done now? Now, because you chose that, guess where you're going? Forever. Do y'all get this? He's showing us that you yet forfeits his soul, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? God does what he does to save your soul for eternity. So if you think this temporary is more worth it, have at it. But don't blame God. Do y'all get this? Okay. So in our conception, this is an acceptance of. He also shows we must humble ourselves to allow God to work with us. What is humbling? And we did the humble strength. I don't know if y'all remember that. And some people make the mistake of thinking humble is weak. Remember, if you remember, there was that line that we had, that strength line. Humility is in the middle of it, because when I am conceited and pride, that's about me. But when I'm self-conscious and weak or fearful, that's still about me, right? Humility is where it has nothing to do with me, right? I'm never too weak to be used by God, but I'm never too conceited to do what he tells me to do. Do y'all catch this? I'm always looking for his exact word to do it. How many of us look for his exact word? Then when we see it, we're like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Oh, I have to listen to this person now. Oh, and we do this all the time, and then we play crazy and we play stupid. Problem is, you can play stupid with me. You can play stupid with yourself. You can't mock God. God's looking at you going, uh-huh. Yep, you keep playing. I didn't know. Uh-huh. I might go, oh, okay, you didn't know. God's going, mm-hmm. Okay. Y'all get, that's what it says. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Why is he saying? He was like, you want to be able to tell me so I can help you. You don't want to go to God and go, well, God, I didn't know. Because he's going to look at you because he knows that you know. You just told, you chose to play the victim. Do y'all catch this? And he goes into Matthew 18, 3-4 to show us this. He says, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Made that very clear. See, some of us were born adults. You got where I'm going with this? You know what I mean? So in our conception, we were coming in with our own mindsets, our own rules, how we were going to do it, our own desires, what we're not going to do. God's like, go back. And you still call yourself a Christian because you never came in as a little child doing exactly. Remember, when you're first born, you can't talk back because you can't talk. Amen. Right? You have to do what they tell you because you won't eat. You won't have a place to sleep. You better do. That's what he's talking about. Come in with the attitude of I'm 100% yours. Okay? And he's showing us this. He says, if you don't become like them, you will never enter the kingdom. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself. Now, did y'all notice something there? And I put in bold. He says, humbles himself. It's not something that happens to me. It's something that I choose to do. Humbling is, I'm coming to you for you to tell me what to do. Now, I'm going to show you how this works. So there are certain lines in the Bible that tell, I always tell husband and wives, so husband, you're supposed to love your wives, until wives, you're supposed to submit to your husband. Now, I can just put those two things out there, and I'll hear everybody go, amen. Then you'll watch. The men are not loving. Women are not submitting. That means you didn't humble yourself. Why? Well, God said it. I know, but no, stop, stop. Humbling said, is this what you're supposed to do? Yeah, why aren't you doing it? Plain and simple. Why aren't you doing it? The only good answer is, well, God told me not to. And it better be in the word, but God's never going to go against God. So if you're not doing it, you didn't humble. Y'all get this? Okay? He gives these instructions. If I don't humble myself like a child to do exactly what he tells me, He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So that humbling is something I choose to do. That means you're coming to hear what God says and you do it. None of this hemming and hawing, none of this other excuses. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to. And a lot of our lives are being messed up because we didn't humble ourselves. And we're doing this other junk out there. And God's like, don't deceive yourselves. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The mess you're in could be the mess you made because you chose instead of listening. Y'all got that? Amen? All right. So in a nutshell, conception is deciding to totally get rid of self and totally live for God. He's not telling you do it. He's going to help you do it. He's going to go through the process, but you're coming into this knowing I'm getting rid of everything. Even those things that you count as noble, even though those things you love most, you're coming into it going, God, take whatever in order for me to serve you. If you have not done that, you are not a Christian. Pastor, how can you say that? I have to say that just from what you read. He said, if you do not give up everything, cannot be my disciple. Isn't that what it said? If you don't humble yourself like a child, he says, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So do I just give you a pass because I'm Pastor Keith and I get the check? I don't have that power. I'm a servant just like you. And I better tell you the truth. That's conception. You had to get past this point. If you haven't, let's say you've been Christian for multiple years and you haven't done, start it now then. Start doing this now. It's never too late. Don't go, oh, I'm too late. Never too late. If you're still alive and you can hear this, praise God. But then we get into infancy. So that's after you've accepted. Okay, now I've accepted Christ. I understand what I'm getting into. I know what this process means. And that means starting new with what? Everything. Okay, we're going to finish up and do infancy. And that's what we'll close on. Now, we must totally stop being influenced by the world and grow by being influenced spiritually. I have to say, and even to myself, I have not seen this done. I have not seen this done. The word totally. I've seen it done in pieces. But that scares me. I have not seen. What am I talking about? Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Part 1. I have not seen that done. Certain things I still react the way the world reacts. I look around, watch some people that even call themselves, and I'll watch them. I saw a minister one time, but he even preached it. And he went to a restaurant, and they got something wrong. He went off on them. Seriously? Where in the Bible says, if they do not get your meal right, go off on them in the name of the Lord? You still see Christians holding grudges. You still see Christians having pride moments. Because the world does it. Is this what we do? Getting into weird and bad relationships. Because we're still conforming. What does it mean conform? I'm doing it the way the world does. This is how everybody else does it. Right? He told us, stop doing that. I probably could stop this sermon right now. Okay, we got to get there first. Because we do. And he put this in order. So that's the first thing. I have to stop doing that. But then watch this. Be transformed. Did you notice I can't transform myself? This is one of those that God will do for me. So transformation will happen to me if what? By renewing of your mind. Now, once again, this is why I'm not supposed to make church something that you want to come to. You have to come to church looking for me to feed you. Renewing means, okay, we're going to start from scratch. I'm going to learn how to do everything. That family that I had to let go of, now teach me how to love them. This relationship that I want to get in, teach me how to do that. This job I'm trying to work, teach me. You got where I'm going with this. The renewing of the mind, everything you want to know, you're going to get. But if you didn't let go, you're going to struggle with this. Y'all get this. You're gonna come in here. Oh, I gotta change this. I got, once again, if you didn't conceive, if you didn't go through that part first, you're already stuck. He says, you do this. Now remember, what did he say? Only he who what does the will of my Father. Isn't that what he said? So when I do this, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Pastor, why am I so stuck? How come I don't know what I'm supposed to do? Cause. This. You're trying to figure it out the way the world figures it out. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to this worldly financial counselor. I'm a Christian, but we're going to this worldly marriage counselor. I'm a Christian, but I want the world to raise and teach my kids how to live in the world. I'm a Christian, but how I do with my health and what I do with my body is going to be between me. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Y'all catch that? And then you go, what is God's will for me? He told you how to know his will. You're choosing not to, because you're choosing not to let go. Amen. God puts us in circumstances to say, okay, Keith, let me see how you're going to deal with it. Either I'm going to do it the way the world does, or I'm going to be a renewed mind and do it the way God says. Am I getting better? Yes. But am I there? Absolutely not. And should I be there? Absolutely. This shouldn't be a piece by piece. It should be done. This should be done. And this is another thing, because there's so few doing it, if any, today, you don't have company. You don't have that support base. In fact, you have people that encourage you to go the other way. You're only human. Don't worry about it. Y'all catch this? So we missed this part. And we still are walking around as the world, but calling ourselves the light. Doesn't make sense. The Bible must be your life book to keep you headed in the right direction. There's a lot of readings out here and a lot of stuff we go by, but if it's not the Bible, you're headed in the wrong direction, period. Like it or not, it's the way it is. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. And how, watch this, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, watch this, for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what is he saying here? First of all, he's letting me know, my kids, I need to train them from babies Christ. First thing. Now, training them Christ isn't just reading church Bible stories to them. It's raising them the way God says be. Remember I said, so one of the things we know we get through the Spirit is self-control. So I raise them in self-control. So when they cry, I give them something to eat immediately, right? That's self-control. When they don't want to sleep, I understand and I get up with them, even though I got to go to work the next morning. That's self-control, correct? When they say no to me and I just go, don't say that, and they keep saying no to me, I just allow them to get away with it, right? That's self-control. That's obedience. That's reverence. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? All right? This is what that means. Train them up the way they're supposed to go, right? Time to go to bed, you go to bed. Do you understand it? You cry. You can cry, but you're going to bed. Oh, yeah, you will be eating that. We're not making any special meals here. Amen? What if all God made was broccoli? You'd be eating broccoli. But now that we have a choice, I only have it cooked in the finest way with a little. Come on, now. What does it matter? And that's what he's showing us. He says, continue in what you have learned and infancy. But watch this. He's saying, you know the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. So they have to watch me live trusting in him. Not me living based on sight. Too many times I heard people go, I did this and it worked. It had nothing to do with it. That's not training your child. I did this and it worked. Because your kids, how many times have your kids disobeyed you? And it worked out. I know as a kid, I used to look at my parents like, it worked. Then I woke up. But do you understand how that works? But what did I tell you to do? My grandmother was, man, and I thank God for that because that stuck in me. I don't care if it worked or not. What did I tell you to do? She's very clear about it. We go, but it worked. That's sight. Did y'all catch that, people? Okay. God is saying, faith, what did I tell you to do? Are you doing it because it looked like it worked? Are you doing what I told you to do? So that's through faith, and not just through faith in Christ. So as parents, I have to raise them while I live in Christ to live in Christ. That's a process. So we have to go from infancy, making the Bible our guide in every step of the way. And then we have to make the word your main desire. Now, listen to what I just said to you. You have to make it your desire. We're used to having desires. I'm explaining it to you. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies. So this verse is specifically for the new Christian. Because later on, it talks about meat. We'll get to that in the future. Now, it's talking about milk. And watch what he says here. He says this as a command. Hopefully everybody catches this. Crave pure spiritual milk. Now think about it. Usually you crave something that sometimes your senses trigger. Have you ever smelled something? Oh man, I could really go for a, right? Have you ever done that? Man, don't you smell? Oh, I could really go for it. That's when you allow your flesh to tell you what you're going to crave. He's making the command here. He's saying, Keith, crave pure spiritual milk. You go, man, I could really go for the word of God without you adding any fluff to it. I could really go for it. That should be every single minute of your life. Oh, man, I could really go for the word of God. I've been around people where we start to talk about God and they get up and they go, oh, and they walk away. They go talking about God again. Why? Because they're not craving it. Can we talk about something? Now, we can sit down and talk about nonsense. We love nonsense. I love candy. I can eat candy. It'll kill me. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? We love nonsense, but the stuff that's good for us, he's telling you to crave. Wait, y'all talking about that? That's why when people do that, I back off and go, okay, they don't crave it. I'm finding somebody that does crave it. Why? Because I crave it. And not because I'm this holier than that. No, I have to force myself to do it. You have to force yourself to crave it. That's why it's a command. Y'all get this? It's not going to be something you necessarily want to do. It's something you make yourself want to do. Does that make sense? How many times do you have your Bible studies, your groups, your small things, your things you get together, and I don't feel like it today? Is that supposed to be your driving force? Because Satan's going, got them. They're going by feeling. I don't feel like it today. And the church is going, what can we do to get them to feel it to come to church? More and more God's showing, no, I don't want them to feel it. I want them to make themselves do it. Oh, I got to go. Crave spirit for it. And he says, why? So that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. We blew it here. We tried to make the church give us what we want to hear to make us feel good. We don't apply it. I'm not listening. I hear the same thing. I'm not going through anything. And then he says, we mess it up. But those who get it, that's why he says in verse 3, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Those who get it go, I'm going to crave. I want to talk about this. I need to hear this. You'll tell others, oh, y'all going without me. I got to get the word of God. But others are going, wait, what are they doing? I'm going to miss out because I'm always going to church. I'm tired of this. Okay, invest in the temporary or the eternal. Your choice. Your choice. Also, don't just hear the word. Do what it says. This is the difference maker, y'all. Where a lot of us fail, because you have a lot of what we call Bible scholars. We can read a word. We can even say a scripture. But your life hasn't changed. So obviously, you're not applying it. When I say your life hasn't changed, I'm talking about the way you handle and do things. You're still doing it the way you always done it, right? He shows us in James 1, 22 through 25, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Remember, deception is a choice. So if I'm one that just listens, you come here, you hear what I'm saying, you say, amen, man, God, man, that was great, all this. And then you go back and you're the same old Keith, right? You just deceived yourself. In other words, you have done absolutely nothing. There's no difference than you and the rest of the world. He goes on to say, do what it says. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. Why did you look in the mirror to see what you look like? You walk away, that was all worthless time. And you need some ginkgo or something like that to remember. But if it's that bad, but do you understand what I'm talking about? You purpose you looking in the mirror, it's gone. The purpose you're getting the word is to apply it, not to make you feel good, not to just say amen. It's instruction for you to do. If you're not planning on doing it, keep investing in the temporary. Y'all get this? It says, and after looking at himself, goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. You're coming. You're going, okay, pastor, I heard this. Let's go over this again. Still not getting it. Let's go. I have no problem with that because that's my job. Person can ask me 50 times until they go, okay, I'm going to try this tomorrow. Hey, I tried it and I'm still working. Praise God. That's a person who is doing it. Now, when you just go, amen, no change, you're no different than the person who didn't listen to it at all. God does not give credit just for listening. The listening is a gift to us. Please get that. You're not doing God favors for going to church. You're not doing God favors for Bible studying. He gave that to you for you. Stop fooling yourselves. He says, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. What it didn't say is what he does will turn out the way he wants. It didn't say that. Did y'all notice that? That means whatever I do, even when it fails, oh, I'm blessed. I'll go to jail like Joseph and be blessed. Y'all catch this? I'll have all that stuff happen to me from Job and be blessed. I'll be blessed by it because I'll be able to see much deeper in it and through it and not at the situation itself. Remember, by sight, Pharaoh was blessed. By sight. Because he had all the power. He had all the money. Egypt was it. Where in the Bible does it say, I blessed Egypt because they were such a great country? Anybody ever read that? But you still hear ministers go, America's in the position we're in because we're so blessed. Where does it say that? And where do you get that? When things go the way you desire, does that mean you're blessed? When things go bad, does that mean you're cursed? No. Oh, there's a blessing by the person who's growing in it. Y'all catch this? Please get this. Please. As new Christians, we must set new goals. We're just about done, y'all. Hang in there with me. So as we have to set new goals. And he says in Ephesians 4:17-24, he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. So what Paul is showing, he's saying, I'm giving you this and you got to do it based on God. He says that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. Now, people miss this. He's going to explain. What does he mean as Gentiles do? How do they live? In the futility of their thinking. Now, some of us read God's word and then we go, Now, where you messed up is you went, Why? Because you're now trying to reason God in your mind. And you're going to take the parts you like and do, and the parts you don't, you get rid of. Remember the whole hair thing? Do you understand this? Or man being the head thing? You know, I hear people kind of, yeah, it makes, sounds good. Not doing it. How do I know you're not? Because you're not doing it. Do you get this? We hear it, but We're going, in the futility of our thinking, we allow our thinking instead of us just doing, right? It goes on, they are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is into them due to the hardening of their hearts. The Bible clearly says, do this. Why aren't you doing it? Well, I'm still thinking about it. I'm still working on it. What are you working on? What does that mean? When you say you're still working on it, what does that mean? If I tell you to walk straight, and I come back and you're still in the same spot, what are you doing? I'm working on it. What does that mean? And I'm asking you, not for me, what are you going to say to God? I'm working on it. What does that mean? And we got to ask ourselves that. When he says beat your body, he said walk straight. What are you doing? I'm walking straight. I'd rather you walk straight and be wobbly. At least you're doing what he says than to sit there going, I'm working on it. How are you working on it when you're doing nothing? He's saying they're living in ignorance, in the futility of their thinking. He's saying in verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. They start now doing stuff that seem right, and they'll blame it on God. He says, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Remember, impurity is stuff added to God's word with a continual lust for more. Now you'll start adding the other junk and calling it godly. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. What that means is when you hear about what you're supposed to do, immediately you go, I need you to show me that in sound doctrine. Please don't give me somebody's story. Please don't give me some outcome. I need to hear what he said purely. That means you're going to be in my face going, Pastor, let's talk about this because I got to know what he told me to do, period. He says, you were taught that regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Oh, didn't y'all just hear that? Right? The beginning, the conception part, to put off your old self. Didn't we just hear that? The beginning of infancy, no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, put off your old self, right? Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I'm saying that again, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Is Satan corrupting self? No. What's corrupting self? Self. The what I want is what's killing me. Do y'all catch that? That's why it wouldn't make any surprise to me. Eve desired that fruit. Adam desired Eve. Do y'all catch that? Corruption. If I have desire and I'm in control of it, I'm good. And desire then just becomes, I wouldn't mind having instead of I must have. Y'all see the difference? Okay. You go, I wouldn't mind having this. But if God says no, answer's no. Not, but why, God? I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? Do y'all get this? He says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. As homework, I'm encouraging y'all to read that again and again. Break that down. And I broke it down some in the bottom here before we finish up on the next slide. But he says, first of all, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desire. So I got to get rid of me. That I don't live for what I want. I don't live for what makes me happy. I don't live based on how I see it. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. That means no longer conforming to the patterns of this world and totally getting full instruction from God despite what I desire. And three, put on the new self. Now that I got this new self, be it. Start doing what he says. Stop working on it and start doing it. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Cut it out. Stop making these excuses of I'm working on it when we're doing nothing. Y'all got me? I'm saying this out of love and extreme urgency. Because we got a lot of Christians working, and we're not working at all. Amen? I should get a whole amen, but okay, maybe not. All right. Finally, totally and unswervingly depending on God. This is infancy. Totally and unswervingly. Now, what do I mean? When he says in Proverbs 3:5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first part. But when he says the second part is what you got to connect with and lean not on your own understanding. If I do stuff and it works, but it was something that God told me not to do, I'm upset. Y'all catch that? Because it doesn't make sense, but I didn't do what he told me to do. See, if I allow my understanding to come into play, which many do, will do stuff, it'll seem to work out, even though God didn't tell me to do it, and I'll keep doing it. Because I'm leaning on my own understanding. So now I'm in danger. Because God is not going to come and go, hey, Keith, did it work out? He's going to go, so did you do what I told you to do? Trusting in him means all I want to know is what do you want me to do? If I did it and I lost my job, amen. If I did it and I'm thrown in jail, amen. If I did it and I die, amen. Because I did what he told me to do. Even though my understanding is, but God, if I do that, I'm going to be thrown in jail. God, if I do that, I'm going to lose my job. God, if I do that, my family's going to leave me. Y'all catch this? Y'all understand? Trusting in him means just do what he says. Just do it. Yes, he's going to put you in predicaments. That's not going to look right. I shouldn't be walking on water with a storm out here, right? And that's what he started doing. He started trying to understand instead of going, I'm walking on water because he told me to do it. Our lives are all messed up because we budget outside of God. Here, God, I'm going to give you a little bit of money here. Isn't that great, God? All right, as long as you don't mess up the money that I have saved away. And then this crash happens. Remember that money you had saved away? It's worthless. God, what am I supposed to do? Well, you were never trusting in me. You were leaning on your own understanding. You were leaning more on your 401k than you were leaning on me. You were leaning more on your talent and your job than you were leaning on me. You were leaning more on whatever you had invested away, which is now gone. I'm still here. Y'all catch this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That means everything you do, you don't reason it with what everybody else have done, what the experts have done in the past. You sit there and go, how does this work through God? This is one of the things I use with this whole COVID thing. This is no brainer. And you understand? Because that's what we did the thing on wisdom. That's where that sermon came from. I looked at it and I'm like, I'm going to acknowledge God. How do we handle this? And it made sense. Just do this thing. What is it hurting other than your freedoms and your comfort? Other than your freedoms and your comfort, you putting on a mask. What does it hurt? If we have all just done that, what does it hurt? Well, I'm not comfortable. I can't breathe. We make up all these things based on self and desire. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. God does not want a wise guy. He wants one that serves and fears him. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In other words, this is why we're so sick. Literally. Because we don't trust in him. Do y'all get this? And all of us are sick, if you like it or not. All of us are. Because we're lacking the true vitamin that's out there, and that's 100% trust in him. Don't pat your back on the 20 or 50% you have in him, because it's that other side of it that you're not doing that's destroying you. Does that make sense? Amen? Finally, wrapping up infancy. Infancy is the conscious transformation from the fleshly living to the spiritual. We do fruit every year because in your infancy, you are now from that point on to be spiritual. Not I apply spirituality in my fleshly life. No, you are to no longer be fleshly, but live spiritual. I encourage you, go back, look this stuff over, especially what we read in Ephesians, because that's a lot of information. I could spend more time on it. But I encourage you to. Hopefully it brings up questions. And any of this you see, you may go, man, I am still in this phase and I should be way up there. Amen. Don't get stuck in that. Just go, okay, so now I'm going to change. Let us start growing up. God willing, we'll see the next phase next week. Amen. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for the pattern that you've laid down for us in your word on what we need to do to mature. I'm asking for forgiveness for myself and for others, dear Lord, for not doing this, for allowing ourselves to stay so immature and not truly living in the path that you have placed for us. Help us, dear Lord, to seek you in your ways in everything, to not lean upon our own understanding and not allow sight to get in the way, but live totally trusting in you. We ask for healing. We ask for understanding. We ask for guidance for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are going through major trials and sicknesses and things of that sort. Help them to know and be blessed in what they're going through. Help us to encourage within you, dear Lord, in all that's going on. Help us not to be distracted by what we see, but to be encouraged by what you say. We want to walk in your ways at all times. We ask you to get us home safely. Help us to be a light in every situation, dear Lord. And just let us be a light so that even those who are doing their own thing and going in their own way, dear Lord, we can be that thing to guide them to you. But let us not get in the way to push them away. We thank you and we love you, dear Lord. And we want to continue to live worshiping and glorifying you with our lives. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen. Thank you all.